Welcome to the Fantasy Football Elite Podcast. Whether you're a seasonal or daily fantasy football player, Guru Elite has the experience, knowledge, and power to make you a champion. Here's your host, Jeff Mann.
All right, welcome everybody. Another episode of Fantasy Football Elite, the free, totally free podcast courtesy of GuruElite.com. How's everybody doing? If you've been following the podcast, for one, I want to just reach out, shout out everybody who is supporting the podcast now that it's downloadable on iTunes and Podbean and everywhere else. Really appreciate the support and the feedback we're getting. So, you know, with that encouragement, we're just going to pump out more episodes. And I know it's been a little while, been about a week since I've done one of these free podcasts, and a number of reasons for that. By the way, I am Jeff Manns, GuruElite.com. That's where you find me. So it's been about a week. Today, I'm going to get into some preseason noise. Now that we have training camps opening across the National Football League, I'm going to talk about some position battles. Just, I'm going to teach you all a valuable lesson in drowning out the noise, getting rid of the nonsense that we hear, and really settling in on how to pay attention to training camp. We'll talk about the latest ADP, some risers, fallers, and today I'm going to give out my top 12 overall picks. So in as far as fantasy football 2018 is concerned, here in the end of July. So these will be moving, and you could follow along over at GuruElite.com, where can, you know, by all means, folks, our draft guide is available. If you want not just my top 12, but you want my top 48, if you want over 800 players ranked, I have them all there over at GuruElite.com. And the draft guide is coming in. We just posted our offensive line breakdown. I will have my coaching breakdown available in about a week and a half from now. We've got the rookie report up this week. We've got the player rankings. We've got special podcasts, strategy podcasts. We have by the numbers, statistical breakdowns. There's so much content. It's crazy. And our bold predictions article is already up by our entire staff, including Tommy G, Jeff Collins, Draft Sheet, Kevin Adams, all of these folks. So go there, check it out. Hopefully you guys do have the draft guide. It'll help you follow along with some of the things we talk about here on this podcast. And you get much more in-depth podcast strategies, in-depth stuff over at GuruElite.com. I was also roaming the country this past week. I took a little trip, family trip, out to Colorado for a couple of days before having to fly off to New York City for some business meetings. And the business meetings, we have huge announcements we're going to make here for GuruElite.com. For you fantasy football folks, this is big. These announcements are big for the industry as a whole. It's big for us on a personal and a group level. And it's going to be great for the consumer because we have our content planned, not just for this year, but subsequent years. And just, it's going to be very good. And it's the great thing about this is we're going to be able to lower prices a little bit while bringing in new cutting edge people, great track records as far as writers and analysts at the site, more tools, more access to our staff. I mean, you know, we're never going to leave somebody alone. That's part of our draft guide this year as well. We're never going to leave you guys alone. It's not, you know, I've been in this industry for 13 years and written magazines and books and done radio shows and podcasts and videos and television and a movie. You know, Living the Fantasy, by the way, the name of the movie, if you haven't seen the documentary film. But, you know, one thing I feel like we've always shorted our customers on is access to us directly. So this year we've rectified that, and we have never done before stuff as far as me and our entire staff being accessible to you while you're at your draft. You're going to have access to us at any time, short of giving you our cell phone numbers. It's that kind of access. So I'm pumped up about it. And I'm excited about it. So, but that's why I've been on hiatus from this podcast for the last week. But nevertheless, you know, good times, great things are coming. Appreciate your guys' support. By the way, as always, follow me on Twitter at Jeff underscore Manns, the Jeff Manns, M-A-N-S, as in Sam. Some people getting confused on that. On any social media outlet, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, anywhere else. Otherwise, on Twitter, it's at Jeff underscore Manns. And give us your feedback if you like the podcast. If you don't like the podcast, there's topics you want us to talk about. In fact, my top 12 today that I'm going to be giving out in just a matter of moments, this was a recommendation from somebody who listens to the podcast. And you have my overall lists and all my rankings a part of the draft guide. But for those of you who don't, I'll give you a little taste here today as well, see where my mind is at. So a lot going on since last we left. Let's get to some of the news around the National Football League. All right, the Ravens and Bears, they are in training camp as we speak. Veterans and rookies alike reported. They are all doing it. The other teams will be launching their training camps all throughout this week. By the way, this is Monday morning, so July 23rd, 2018 is when we're recording this. So if you're listening to it later on in the month of July or August, that's probably why that is. Some other things to discuss. So preseason nonsense. That's what I want to get into today. That's a topic that is – we have to figure it out because the industry, depending on who you trust, depending on who you follow, who you're getting information from, there's pretty much two camps of fantasy analysts. There's one camp that says training camp doesn't matter. Stats don't count. Preseason games don't count. Doesn't matter. All this stuff. That's one. And they're completely wrong. They are deliberately wrong. In my experience, the fantasy analysts that say that are the ones that don't want to put in that work, because it's a lot easier for them to concentrate and do other things than to pay attention to every day of training camp and injuries and news and depth charts and ADP and preseason performances and stuff like that. They don't want to put in the work. That's why they say that. So please ignore those people. The other side is that training camp means everything. Don't ignore those people because I think they're more right. However, it doesn't mean everything. It absolutely does not. There are things that will be important. They're obviously any injury in training camp. I mean, I don't care what it is, any injury, a hangnail, a hemorrhoid, like whatever it is, everything's important as far as an injury during training camp or the preseason. So that's always important. The other thing is playing time, because as we talk about all the time, and the draft guide has extensive write-ups about how important a system is. And it's more than just the system and the design of a scheme. You hear those words tossed around a lot, but it's a script. Let's use a movie term that we all know and love, a script. The script will tell you how much this person, that person, will be in a movie. Who, any of you guys fans of the movie The Hangover? Hilarious movie from like 2010. But in the movie, there's four main guys, right? Well, yes, unless you're the actor who played, I don't even know what his name was. I'm forgetting the name, but the actor that played the guy who got lost, you know, on top of the building. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen the movie yet in 8 years. But you know what I mean? Like, it's the other three guys were the main characters. The fourth guy got lost, you know, 20 minutes in, and they spent the whole time searching for it. So it's not an equal role. People from the outside, it seems like there's four main characters, but there's really only three. All right, because the other guy was gone. And that's what happens with offenses and schemes. Yes, you have a running back, three receivers, a tight end, a quarterback. Yes, but if they're not as skilled as they might be, as perceptually as you think, oh, yeah, they're going to use all these guys, some schemes and systems simply don't use certain positions. Certain quarterbacks don't throw to the slot or the tight end or the outside, or they have players that they prefer, the routes that they prefer. So playing time, AKA opportunity, is massive in fantasy football. And it's just impossible not to pay attention to that and how training camp and preseason will impact the regular season opportunity of every single player. So that's the things we have to look for. And today I want to focus on a negative aspect of the preseason, and that is beat writers, beat reporters who have, they have a, they have a story they want to write or they need to write. And I have been very fortunate. I used to be a beat writer. They called this a stringer for a Major League Baseball team years ago, Chicago White Sox. And I know the papers I worked for and the Associated Press who I worked for and the pool of writers. Certain times we would have to cover a storyline that they wanted covered. It didn't exist. There was no meat to it, but that was what the paper wanted. That's what your editor wanted. You had to ask those questions. And that's the same thing with local news writers and beat reporters and all that kind of stuff. Okay. So you got to understand that. And furthermore, when I got into the broadcasting business about 13 years ago, I used to have managed my websites and then go on air and talk about the practice reports every single day. And when I got a high-ranking, let's say, New England Patriots beat reporter, and I got him on the air, he would give the Bill Belichick narrative. This is all, everybody's good. This guy's doing great. Nothing was ever negative. And then I started paying some of the stringers under the table, by the way, on the side to say, all right, what was practice really like? Whoa, dude, Belichick went nuts on, you know, Shane Vereen or somebody like that. It was way before Shane Vereen, but you guys get the idea. And I got a completely different practice report from those people. And that's, to me, that's more important, what was really happening. Then I had the opportunity to tour training camps and go to, you know, Missouri and St. Louis and Detroit and different places around the Midwest, especially then Texas eventually, where I got to witness training camp firsthand. And I saw different plays being implemented, different players being used in different situations and those things. So there's a lot of importance when it comes to training camp. But there's a couple stories that I've been jotting down this week that I think are ridiculously bad and need to be thwarted immediately. Number one is Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. Oh, Lamar Jackson way ahead of the curve. Lamar Jackson showing prowess. Lamar Jackson picking up the offense. Guys and gals, Lamar Jackson isn't touching a football in 2018. Okay? He's not touching a football. There is zero opportunity. Any person that buys the hype of Lamar Jackson or any backup quarterback for that matter is going to lose. The reason you're going to lose is because I know what you're thinking. Well, I'll just grab him in the last round. I'm going to grab him in the second to last or third to last round, or I'll just take a shot. We're training you to do, and what I've spent my life trying to help people with and have helped people with, as you could tell by the screenshots and people that have won life-changing money in daily and seasonal fantasy based on our advice, is we're not wasting anything. There will be no waste. If we're teaching you guys anything, it is there's no throw in players. There is no there's no, oh, we'll give a shot or throw it in or throw it in. That doesn't exist in my world. In my fantasy life, whether it's baseball or football or any other sport, seasonal or daily or best ball or high stakes or low stakes, there is never any fat. I am not just going to throw anything. Every single move I make is calculated. Do they all work? Absolutely not. I crash and I burn at times. Early rounds, middle rounds, later rounds. That absolutely happens. But because I don't take on any fat, I don't draft a backup quarterback because I want to, you know, I want somebody to give me praise if he hits. And that's really what it comes down to. You draft Lamar Jackson because you want to be the Lamar Jackson guy. And I was very, I had Lamar Jackson, my number two quarterback going into, I'm sorry, number three quarterback going into the NFL draft. But he landed in a terrible situation behind a veteran quarterback, a veteran coach, an organization that also pretty much has to win now. And Joe Flacco has a very, very, very high contract that he's going to play. Now, 8 weeks in, what happens if Flacco sucks again? Who knows? But, folks, we're not doing that. We are not going to draft for what happens in 8 weeks. 10 weeks, 12 weeks, or what may happen by the end of the season. We are drafting to win early, and we're drafting to win often. And that does not mean backup quarterbacks. If you want to tweet it, you want to blog it, you want to Facebook or Instagram it or chat it, text it to your friends, you think Lamar Jackson will be the starting quarterback, or you know, by week one or week four or week eight or what, you think he'll be a top whatever player, that is great. Good. Document it. Awesome. But don't you dare invest your time or money into it. There's a massive difference. Okay, so Lamar Jackson being ahead of the curve means absolute nothing. Absolutely nothing. Joe Flacco, unless he gets hurt in the first 2 weeks of camp, is the starting quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens and will be at least through the first 6-7 games. That's minimum. That is a fact. Nothing else matters. Lamar Jackson has no chance. Okay, that being said, other situations to talk about. These are just as dangerous. I read this week from two different writers, two different teams. Devontae Booker, he's the RB1, likely to start week one of the season for the Denver Broncos. No, he's not. Every year we go through this. Every year we go through these veteran guys who have been around, and every year, when there's a rookie brought in, beat writers, because they talk to the coaches, they get the first coaching breakdown. And every single year, every single team, every single solitary time, we get the same story. The veteran is ahead of the rookie always. And it's true. On day one, Devontae Booker is going to be your RB1 of the Denver Broncos on day one of training camp. We have about, 6-7 weeks to the start of NFL season. Folks, if they believed in Devontae Booker, they don't draft Royce Freeman. Simply does not happen. It is just not – you don't spend a high pick on a player they don't want to play. The coach speak and the head coaches and coordinators going to writers and telling them the story about the veterans are sent to inspire the veterans. The veterans know. Devontae Booker. If Devontae Booker was drafting his fantasy team tomorrow, he would draft Royce Freeman ahead of himself. He would. If it was for, you know, life on the line, big money. If it's in his home league, he'd try to show bravado and choose himself first like an idiot. That's different. Life on the line, that's what would happen. But the Broncos do not bring in Royce Freeman if they don't, especially in the third round, if they don't anticipate him playing. Oh, by the way, they drafted David Williams in the seventh round as well. So they bring in two running backs and they get rid of CJ Anderson. You know, do they do that because they believe in Booker? Absolutely not. Absolutely. Does Freeman get hurt and Booker start? Yeah, that's possible. Of course. But you should be drafting Royce Freeman ahead of Devontae Booker. Don't do that. Don't fall for the same thing, guys. These are items. I don't think it's been said yet. As of this podcast, it has not been said. But I'm sure that somewhere along the line in the next few days, somebody's going to come out with a report that Jonathan Stewart is getting more first-team reps than Saquon Barkley. I know it. I mean, that's what's going to happen. It just is inevitable. It happens every year. I remember when Zeke Elliott was brought in, and I forget if it was McFadden or was it Morris, or whoever was there at that time. They were getting more first-team reps than Zeke then, too. It happens all the time. Oh, Chester Taylor was getting more first-team reps than Adrian Peterson when he first came. Like, it's always happens. But only the bad fantasy players fall for it. Don't be a bad fantasy football player. The other story that came out, same thing, Seattle Seahawks. Chris Carson's going to start week one. No, Seattle has turned in, I don't know what happened to them, went from one of the best franchises in all of sports to a laughing stock over the last 2 to 3 years. But if you haven't paid attention to Seattle, their defense is absolutely atrocious. They're going to have to throw the ball a lot. They lose their number two receiver, Paul Richardson. They didn't improve their offensive line whatsoever, but they had a first round pick and they decided to draft Rashad Penny instead of shoring up that secondary. That defensive line, losing Michael Bennett, the offensive line, and trying to help with anybody else, they go and get a running back. And in the first round. And folks, the Seahawks are bad, and they've not drafted well lately. But does anybody think you waste a first-round pick when you have all those glaring holes on your team on a first-round running back and say, oh, no, last year's seventh-rounder is way ahead of him? No. No, you don't. No, it's not going to happen. Penny is the starter. Penny's going to get more touches to start the season unless there's an injury. That's just how it is. If Carson beats out Penny and he's the lead running back, it will – that's it for Pete Carroll. That's it for their general manager. That's it. It's over. It's a done deal. You can't have that many holes and draft a running back and not use him. You can't. I know it's a bad pick, and Penny wasn't the guy I would have went with either, but he absolutely has to play for no other reason than to show that you're locking in a spot and he's part of this rebuild that's happening in Seattle. So I don't know where these stories – I do know where the stories come from. But what I don't understand is why fantasy players fall for it every year. Every year it gets fall for. And it just drives me crazy. And I feel sad for people. But we all have to understand, those of us who are good fantasy players and have a reasonable brain inside of our head that can say, oh yeah, they're just coach speed. This is all coming from the coaches. This is all coming to stir up competition at camp. They're not promising rookies anything, yada, yada, yada. But we're not going to draft like that. It makes no sense to draft like that. It makes no sense to precipitate it. It makes no sense to fall for it. Those of us who are bad at this or do it casually or don't want to get better will fall for it. And we will, and those people will lose, and they'll lose consistently. So it's our job to get better thinking, get better preparing, and be better throughout the course of the season. Draft our team. We're going to make mistakes on draft day, right? And I'm going to get in my top 12. I'm going to get into some ADP and talk to some individual players here in a moment. And some of my analysis come December, it's going to look bad. I look back and it'll be bad. Oh, man. How can you be down on David Johnson? Why shouldn't he have been the number one player? Blah, blah. And maybe that looks terrible come December. That's possible. But if I am setting my team up so that when that happens, I'm not even saying if players that I am not high on break out and players that I am on high on fall down, then those are the only issues my team's going to have. I'm not going to put my mistakes that I'm going to make on top of drafting long shot in the dark, random second, third string players trying to be the smartest guy in the room. That combination is deadly to your team. That combination is deadly. Having zero fat on your team, making every single pick count. Every single pick needs to have a spot on your opening day roster, meaning they're a clear-cut backup in case of emergency. They're a clear-cut in this matchup. I'm going to use this guy. Whatever it is, maybe this guy will be healthy by a certain date, and it'll be trade bait, or this will be my first guy I cut. Every player on your roster is vital to the success of your team, not just your starting seven or eight. Don't goof off late in your draft. Don't have any fat, because if you have fat, then you make mistakes, you're dead in the water. You have no chance to win your league. And that's what we're aiming for here in 2018 and every single year. Other news items, I got to give my regular Andrew Luck progress report. Andrew Luck looking good, cleared for camp. You guys can't see it because this is a podcast, but I'm holding one finger up on top of my hands. Can you guys, in fact, I'm holding two, one on each hand. Guess which one they are. Guess which finger I'm waving in the sky emphatically. Those of you who have listened to every podcast know which finger that is, because, you know, I've been high on Andrew Luck. I told everybody. I was on in Indianapolis. I did a local radio spot during the week, and people had come across my Andrew Luck thoughts and said, oh, you know, you're high on Andrew Luck. You know, why are you so high? And I said, well, because he could have played last year. If this organization didn't completely they knew they were firing their head coach and general manager and getting rid of everybody. If they didn't know they were cleaning house, Andrew, and they were in any kind of contention for a playoff spot, Andrew Luck would have played last year. There was no need to do it. And again, being reasonable, having a reasonable brain and not believing every single emotion that a beat writer, reporter, or an organization as a whole throws at you. It's just like, I'm going to piss some people off here, but I'll talk politics. And I'm not, don't at me with your politics. I don't want to hear it. I don't care. Democrat, Republican. I don't care. Libertarian. I don't like any of it. I don't like anything that tells me how to think. Any person, place, or thing that tells me I have to support X, Y, or Z, I don't like. I will make my own decisions for myself. Thank you very much. So when I hear, you like this because you're a Democrat. You like this because you're a Republican. I think you're all a bunch of idiots. Anybody who just blindly follows one faith or one set of rules is an idiot, in my opinion. Or, not an idiot. Maybe they're just, they're following the wrong herd or sheep or not trusting in themselves, whatever it may be. And I never bought the narrative on Andrew Luck. And it's going to be fantastic because, as I was talking about when we were doing a ton of best ball drafts, I have so many shares of best ball Andrew Luck. It's crazy. I'm going to continue drafting him in the 8th, 9th, 10th round as my either number one or possibly number two quarterback. And I'm going to end up starting him all 16 weeks of the NFL regular season. Good luck getting another player in the 9th and 10th round that is going to be top six at their position, and you'll start all 16 weeks. Good luck, because it's not happening. That's why luck is one of the best values. And he's already cleared for camp. Now everybody's coming around. Now everybody's starting to jump on board and get happier with him. He's moving up ADP. He's moving up other people's draft boards. I see people talking about him now. It's fine because us, aka the Elite Mafia, GuruElite.com, we've been on it the whole time. We've already got our shares. We already have Colts at over 5.5 wins. We've made money already because we knew something. We didn't follow blindly. We didn't follow the sheep. We are in line to win money already. That's what happens when you trust us. We will teach you how to win money one way or another, whether it be gambling, fantasy, sports betting, what we will find the way, best balls and high stake, we will find you the ways to make money with your sports knowledge. So I'm pumped up about Andrew Luck, and yes, fingers up to the world. All right, let's dive into some ADP here, average draft position. Just talk about who's rising up and who's falling down on draft boards as of late. Let's start with the rising players who are moving up, up, up. And I'll talk about a guy that I mentioned just a few moments ago in David Johnson. David Johnson has become – I'm in the Scott Fishbowl League. I did my draft. I'm going to go over my team on a future podcast. I probably should have done it here, but I think there's too many stories to talk about that I needed to clean up before we dive into my drafts and stuff like that. But David Johnson went first overall in my Scott Fishbowl draft. First overall, and I've seen this a number of times. In fact, the National Fantasy Football Championship in high stakes format of fantasy football, people all paying good amounts of money to be in leagues. David Johnson pretty regularly goes number one through number three overall. In fact, the latest he's gone in any NFFC draft since June 1st is sixth overall. Well, I hate to say it, I have him lower than that, even lower than the least he's gone. He goes number one a lot. You know, him, Gurley, Bell, Zeke, all pretty much are in the mix at number one. And, I understand. David Johnson, though, is a top three guy right now. He's third overall, according to NFFC ADP data. And listen, I love David Johnson. Fourth round pick, Northern Iowa. I have met David Johnson on a number of occasions. In case those of you don't know me, Jeff Manns, I live in Arizona. I live very close to David Johnson and his new wife, and I've met his kid. I mean, I'm not a stalker. I just know he's in my community, him and his wife. He is one of the best examples. I have an 8-year-old son. Between Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson, the Cardinals here locally have very good role models. Guys, I want my kids to be like and grow up to be like. He's a good role model. He's a good, good young man. And I root for him. If he's the best player in fantasy football, it's tremendous and I'm happy. The issue I have is there's no Bruce Arians any longer. He missed a whole season of football. People, we all condemn Andrew Luck because he missed a whole season. We all do that. And I know it wasn't a leg injury. It's just a wrist. So it's not the biggest of deals as far as the injury, but he did miss time. He's another year older. And like it or not, that matters when you're a running back. And now with no Bruce Arians, a much more conservative offense with Steve Wilks and Mike McCoy, offensive line is worse than it was a year ago. And the quarterback position, as much as it may be better, it's very unsettled at the time being. There's reasons for concerns with David Johnson. And as much as we love him and much as going into last year, he should have been the number one pick and was and did disappoint people. To not be aware of that right now is a great mistake. It's a big mistake. I will say this 1,000 times before now in the start of the season, but you're not going to win your draft in the first round or second round. I hope everybody understands you're not going to win or lose your league in the first and second round, but you can lose it. It's much, much more important to not miss on a first round pick than it is to hit on a first-round pick. First-round picks should all do well for you. They should be consistent, should be solid, steady producers week in and week out. Volume isn't in question. Touches are not in question. The production is not in question. Consistency, all of that should be superfluous in your first and second-round picks. The way you win drafts is middle and late-round picks. Having breakout players in the mid to late rounds, having those 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th round picks that end up being 1st, 2nd, or 3rd round talent, that's how you win. That's how you win. Spending 1st, 2nd, or 3rd round picks on players that bust, that's how you lose. It's a simple science, folks. It's simple. And when I'm looking at the ADP in the first round, I'm looking at different guys, you know, Gurley, Bell, DJ, Zeke, Brown, Kamara, Barkley, all these guys. Look at the downside for every single player, the reasonable downside. And to me, only one player has more downside than David Johnson in terms of that first round. And that is Le'Veon Bell because of his contract, because that's a real problem. Offensive line production at the end of last season, also the lack of a defense in Pittsburgh, also a problem. The loss of their offensive coordinator, also a problem. So I think Bell and David Johnson, who just so happened to be the number 2 and 3 overall picks in ADP as according to the NFFC, those are two guys that could bust in 2018. Okay, so yes, they both could be the number one player in fantasy football as well. But that's not what we're going for. You don't need a number one overall player. You need to win consistently. You need the one that's most likely going to be in the top 12 every single week or top 20 in every single week. That's going to get you farther than it is having the number one player. Trust me. Some of you, that might sound weird to. Those who are more experienced players know exactly what I'm talking about. Other players rising up ADP. I'm surprised that Christian McCaffrey is moving up. He's moved from 24 to 17 in the last 22, 23 days. And with the acquisition of CJ Anderson in Carolina, and the loss of Mike Shula, and they bring in North Turner. North Turner is a plus for the running game. The addition of CJ Anderson should scare some people away from McCaffrey, but people think, well, they'll just be able to run the ball better. They also lost Norwell, their left guard, goes down to Jacksonville. And Norwell, there's a great guy named Brett Coleman. I hope you guys are supporting his work too. If you want videos broken down, Brett Coleman is one of my favorites. He did it in fantastic piece on the Panthers lately, where he recapped the 2017 season, and he put video behind the words that I've been saying for the last 3 months, in that the offensive line in Carolina was very uneven last year. But you look at McCaffrey's numbers, and you look at the running game from a year ago, and you will see that Andrew Norwell was an absolute beast. When they ran to the left side behind their left guard, Christian McCaffrey averaged over 5 yards per carry. When he ran anywhere else, he averaged under 3. Dramatic difference. And Norwell is now in Jacksonville. So between C.J. Anderson, between the loss of Andrew Norwell, and a new offensive system as a whole, even though we've had fantasy success with Norv Turner over his career, the addition of C.J. Anderson, I don't know why McCaffrey is now rising. PPR, obviously, that's the format we're talking about. Don't consider Christian McCaffrey in a non-PPR should not even be considered. In my rankings up at GuruElite.com, and you'll see that Christian McCaffrey goes from being a player that, you know, is almost top 48 for me. As a matter of fact, he is a top 48 for me right now overall. He goes from there that he's not even in my – he's barely in my top 36 of running backs in a non-PPR. So remember your scoring format as well. Other guys moving up, kind of happy to see Rob Gronkowski moving up so far ahead of Travis Kelce. Now, remember, these two, when we were in the best ball season in March, April, May, June, it was Kelce over Gronk the whole time. Well, now Gronkowski is emphatically ahead of Kelce, and it's not even really close anymore. So, I mean, I think that's a good thing. He should be much higher than Travis Kelce. Gronk going towards the end of the second round, 22.71 ADP. That's up considerably, all things considered. He was 31.16 just 5 weeks ago. So he's moving up pretty emphatically. And listen, if you're going to go tight end early, I'm not suggesting that's the best idea because I don't think it is. I don't like my teams when I do that. But if you're going to, you might as well go for the gusto. And you have to just balls to the wall. I mentioned Kelce, the reason we don't like him, the reason people are – he's falling, especially in high-stakes leagues, is no Alex Smith. Everyone wants to love Patrick Mahomes and think, oh, strong-arm guy, he's chucking the ball downfield. All that means is less balls to the tight end, less Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce, I mean, for being a move tight end and getting down the field, he's not a speedy guy. And I don't know how much time everybody thinks the Chiefs are going to have to throw the ball. Mahomes may have a cannon, but you need those targets to get deep. So you need time. Tyreek Hill, absolutely. Sammy Watkins, possibly. Kelce, no flipping way. He's not getting deep. He's not running deeper routes. And I think there will be less Kelce this year than before. Other players moving up, Jerick McKinnon. By now, you guys all know I love Jerick McKinnon. Second round pick, he's starting to go. It's getting early. It's getting to the point where I might have to pass up on McKinnon. I used to be able to get him fourth, fifth round. You know, then it moved up. It's moved up every time. Fifth round to the fourth to the third, third now to the end of the second. And depending on who's available. Now, listen, if all the, Dalvin Cook and Fournette and Gordon, they're all off the board. If I can't get a quality wide receiver in Adams or Thomas, Julio, A.J. Green, Mike Evans, if I can't get one of these guys or Devontae Freeman from the Falcons, if I can't get one of them in towards the end of the second round, they're all gone, then I have no problem with McKinnon. But I don't think I could take McKinnon over any of those other guys I just mentioned right now. And I love him. I really do. And there's nobody backing him up in San Francisco. So he's going to be a lead dog, which I do love. And reason he's moving up. Mixon is close to him. People starting to recognize all the upgrades the Bengals did to the offensive line. And Joe Mixon has catapulted himself up there. He's into the second round, end of the second round. He was an end of the third round guy. So he's moved up almost 12 picks in the past 4 weeks, which is pretty significant of a change there. receivers moving up. The guy that's most notable, I think, is Stephon Diggs. Another guy. What really sucks is all these guys that I talk about, Mixon, McKinnon, Diggs, all these players are guys I targeted, you know, 6, 8, 12 weeks ago as huge values. And people are getting smart, and they're catching on, and they're moving up. And it just – it sucks. Sometimes I wish you could press a button and just freeze people's minds and don't let people learn anything else. I really wish I could do that, like some superhero power. I wish I had that because I would have froze everybody on Diggs where everybody was going Thielen over Diggs months ago, and that's just not happening anymore. They are almost neck and neck in terms of their ADP with Thielen slightly ahead still, but that's some bad, you know, older data that's precipitating that. The fact of the matter is Thielen's going later than Stephon Diggs, and Stephon Diggs has gone earlier than Thielen ever has. So we're seeing that change, and deservedly so. Darius Geis, the running back of the Redskins, another guy who's moving up, catapulting, if you will. He went as high as 16 overall in the NFFC in the last month since July 1st, which is pretty stunning. That's way early for me, second round, or middle of the second round at that. Right now his ADP is at the end of the third, 36.38. I'm okay with him there. I personally would take I'm still taking Derrick Henry over him at this stage. I'm still taking a lot of wide receivers, including Diggs, who we talked about, T.Y. Hilton, we talked about. I'm going to take Kenyon Drake over Geis still. That's pretty close. But Henry, Drake, Mark Ingram, I would take over him. I know Ingram's out for four. And I think you can't draft Ingram if you're looking for a second running back. You can't draft Ingram over Geis. That I understand. You need a starter. You need a guy for the first 4 weeks. But I'm not going to consider Geis as my RB2 anyway. He's only going to be drafted as my RB3 unless I wait and get great values on wideouts. So if you're talking my third running back, I would rather go Mark Ingram over Darius Geis. But nevertheless, some folks that are falling in recent ADP, Leonard Fournette, I don't understand that. I'm going to go over my Scott Fishbowl team probably in the next episode and talk about, you know, the reasons I drafted guys. But I'll break this news. I drafted Leonard Fournette in the first round. I had the 9th overall pick, and it was between Kareem Hunt and Leonard Fournette for me. And it was a tough decision because I like Kareem Hunt. Most people like Kareem Hunt more. But I just talked about Andrew Norwell, a guy who went over from Carolina to Jacksonville, such a dynamic run blocker. And they got rid of Chris Ivory, who was, you know, one of the three-headed monsters in terms of the Jacksonville running game last year. And what this does, and I'll expand on this as we go forward, and I dive into it. But the backup situation in Jacksonville, I think, is more clear-cut than it is in Kansas City right now. And you may think, who cares? It doesn't matter. Well, I care because I'm into handcuffing. I invest in running back situations. I invest in the team. I believe that's the way to do it in fantasy football. I don't invest in singular players. And I did attach myself to handcuffs to Leonard Fournette and T.J. Yeldon in that draft. And that's why I decided to go Fournette. I know about the ankle injuries, the foot injuries. It is a huge concern, absolutely. But you know what? Fournette's not in. I'm very comfortable with the guy backing him up. And I'm very convinced in the dedication of the run in Jacksonville. So I'm stunned he's falling. He is now 11.72, going as far as 18th in the draft in the NFFC. He's also gone as high as 5th, so a pretty big margin there. I like Leonard Fournette, and I do not agree with him falling. Other players I don't agree with falling. A.J. Green, I don't know why everybody's down on A.J. Green. 19.24, he slipped 4 spots since last we talked. Mike Evans is slipping mostly because of the Jameis Winston suspension. That's fine. You know, he's now 23.57, pretty much almost out of the second round conversation, Mike Evans. I'm okay with that. LeSean McCoy slipping. I'm obviously perfectly okay with that as well. Travis Kelce, we talked about. he's dropped about five spots and out of the second round in terms of ADP as we speak. Adam Thielen. Thank you, everybody, for dropping Adam Thielen, because I don't think he's going to be successful this year. I really don't think he's going to be successful. I think new quarterback coming in there. I think that a new quarterback, new tendencies, the fact that he couldn't break top coverage last year. Adam Thielen was exposed. I think Thielen's a very productive receiver, very solid guy, but he's not a star. Whereas the guy opposite him, Stephon Diggs, he's a star. You know what I mean? So there you go. That's what I think. Other guys, Thielen dropping, Larry Fitzgerald dropping. Don't worry. Don't worry a thing about Larry Fitzgerald. This happens every year. Nobody respects Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald was going 17th in best ball leagues earlier this year in the month of May and early June. He is now going in 33.36, end of the third round, if you can believe that. It's absolutely insane. But it happens every year, and I'm happy. I'm so happy. Larry's my guy. If he's my number two, or God forbid my number three wide receiver, if I can get him at a value, I mean, his lowest ADP, and ADP is lowest in the NFFC, is 48 overall. That's the last pick of the fourth round. If I get him there, I'm absolutely ecstatic. So don't worry about, I'm not concerned. It doesn't surprise me. Another wide receiver falling is Alshon Jeffrey. I feel like this is a lot to do about the shoulder. I understand. But the thing with the shoulder, he had it medically repaired, surgically repaired this offseason. He played with it almost the entire season. And his production wasn't very good in terms of catches and yards. But he had a ton of touchdowns. And when it mattered most, Alshon Jeffrey was on the field and producing. He can only go up. So I think it's a tremendous value at 47.58 right now. That is nearly nine. It's nine, just over nine places below where he was at the start of July at 47. So Alshon Jeffrey, another guy who is falling down the latest ADP. And I think it's a value. In fact, those two guys I mentioned with Fitzgerald and Jeffrey, all the more reason, go running back early. So much value in the second and fourth round. It is incredible. I mean, the way to start a draft in 2018, running back, receiver, running back, receiver. The value is impossibly good if going there. There's pockets of value. On my SiriusXM radio show, by the way, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern, every weekday, it's the Guru Elite Show with me, Jeff Manns, your host on SiriusXM's Fantasy Sports Radio. Those of you who may not know, we have an entire radio station that covers fantasy sports 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it's on SiriusXM Channel 87, Sirius 210. And I've been on that station full time for 8 years. It's been around a long time. So some of you might not notice it or not know about it, but it's there. And we talk fantasy football constantly around the clock. So it just makes so much sense. I do a thing called draft pockets, and the pocket of value at wide receiver in the second and fourth round is just disgusting. So, so good that your first four picks, two running backs, two receivers, it makes all the sense in the world. To rotate them running back, receiver, it's almost like it's drawn up on a whiteboard. Very easy for you. So with that, let's now talk about my overall top 12. According to my overall rankings, which are available, guruelite.com, I'll give out my first 12 now, but I have my top 48 listed for you, including I have 800 picks or 800 players ranked, I should say. Now, remember, there's different formats. I have 120 wide receivers, 80 running backs, 40 quarterbacks, 40 tight ends for PPR, have the same amount for non-PPR. I have IDP, individual defensive players. I have rookie dynasty rankings, and I have my overall rankings. So everything you could imagine is covered. Some of you ask, well, what about half-point PPR? Well, half-point PPR will be covered in our draft book that we do every single year. It's basically a one-page, all-encompassing draft. It's for those of you who don't have time to read the hundreds of pages that we print every single year as part of our draft guide. You don't have time to cycle through all this. You just need to take one or two pieces of paper to your draft. That's what the draft book is available for you over at GuruElite.com, and it's included in our draft guide for 2018. So right there, you should be getting some value. And that's a half point PPR overall and auction all on one sheet. It's a pretty amazing product. I've been doing it for about a decade now, and a lot of people love it. So check that out. My top 12 overall right now, and I've had the number one pick once in a best ball draft only. I've not had the number one pick yet. But Todd Gurley is my guy still. I'm down on the Rams offense as a whole. Don't think Goff, Cooks, Woods, or Cooper, I don't think any one of them will live up to the expectations this year. Why do I think that? Well, so many reasons. Number one, second year of an offense that really snuck up on people last year. Playoff team, got to the second round. I think teams are going to be much more prepared for what Sean McVay does. Number two, they lost their offense coordinator, and Matt LaFleur did not replace him. LaFleur is now in Tennessee. And yes, it's McVay's offense, but coordinating an offense takes a lot of time and energy. And I think it's going to take that time for McVay to have to pay attention more to the offense than he did a year ago when he had LaFleur at his disposal. So I think there's something to be said about that. Secondly, the defense is fantastic. If anybody didn't realize what the Rams have done this offseason, Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, Ndamukong Suh, LaMarcus Joyner, they really stacked their defense. And I look at this on paper at least and think, how is anybody going to score on the LA Rams? How are the Rams not going to be the best defense in all of football, let alone, you know, how are they anybody going to score on them? I really wonder. And if they don't score, if the Rams play from a lead majority of the season, how much pass attempts, how many yards is Jared Goff and this passing offense going to have? They're not going to need it. But Gurley is a guy who is both ways. If they have a lead, downhill runner, gets the ball, grind out the clock, win the game. They need to play from behind. For any weird reason, he's very much involved in the passing game. So he's just so stable. If I had to bet, though, if it was my life on the line, who I think will have the most fantasy points this year in all the game, my choice wouldn't be Gurley because I think Gurley's going to have a lot less targets and receptions. So those PPR numbers that we saw a year ago, they're going to be solid. They're not going to be spectacular. But I think his rushing numbers will supplement that enough that he's still a consistent performer. And remember what I said before? I'm not looking for who's going to have the most points. I'm going to look at who definitely will not bust in the first round, and that's Todd Gurley. My number two overall pick is the guy I would bet on to have the most fantasy points. That's Ezekiel Elliott. Dallas Cowboys, people aren't talking about them whatsoever, but they lost Jason Witten and Dez Bryant. Doesn't matter. They're not going to throw. They do not throw the ball, and they don't need to throw the ball. They have an amazing offensive line, by far and away the best in football, and they bring a first-round talent, we'll say. He was a second-round pick, but a first-round talent, Connor Williams, into the mix. This team is absolutely stacked on the offensive line once again. And don't forget, last year, Cowboys had Tyron Smith, Travis Frederick, and Zach Martin all injured at certain points. Martin gets his big contract. Connor Williams comes in. They're already giving him the starting job at left guard to play between Travis Frederick, the best center in the game, and Tyron Smith, who's probably the best offensive tackle. They have the best offensive guard and now the highest paid in Zach Martin. Lael Collins, a guy who should have been a first-round pick if not for the gas mask incident a few years ago. Like, good God, man. Good God, this team, they're stacked. And Zeke's going to be able to run the hell out of the football. And the commitment to the run is legit. No more McFadden. No more Alfred Morris. There's nothing else in Zeke's way. So he's my number two. I have Le'Veon Bell third. I mentioned I'm nervous about it. It's a contract-only thing with him. They did lose their offensive coordinator, Todd Haley. But I still think that Le'Veon Bell is very much in line to be a top weapon for the Steelers. That's one I'm not as secure about because of the contract situation, the offense coordinator. But Le'Veon Bell, when he's on, when things are clicking, he's so – I think the Steelers' defense is terrible, and they will be throwing more, in my opinion. And thus, he can get a ton of those – ton receptions, tons of targets, ton of receptions. Speaking of which, so Bell's my number three. Now, my number four overall is Antonio Brown for the reasons I just diagrammed with the Steelers' defense and the need for passing. Antonio Brown is so consistent. There's such little chance that he will bust. It's incredible. So Antonio Brown, number four. Saquon Barkley, number five for me. I was asked over the weekend whether it's Saquon or OBJ, who's going to be the more important fantasy player for the Giants. To me, it's by far Saquon. I think with Pat Shurmur, with Mike Shula, the new coaches in New York, with the lack, with the number two overall pick, the financial commitment they just made to him, and the feedback that the New York media has given the Giants for spending a second round pick on a running back that historically hasn't worked out very, very well, I think that's what this team's going to be about. I think Saquon's a better fantasy player than OBJ right now and will be in week one. And I love everything about Barkley. The improvements along the offensive line and Solder, Will Hernandez, Eric Flowers on the right side. I like it all. I think it's a great, great situation for the rookie runner. I think he's going to be incredibly productive. Alvin Kamara, sixth overall on my board right now. No Mark Ingram's going to greatly help him the first 4 weeks. By the way, in case you didn't see it, since last we left off, the Saints, you know, had some mini camps, had OTA. They're starting training camp here in a matter of days. One of the things they did in their backfield is they went out and signed Shane Vereen. Now, remember, they signed Terrence West, and they have Jonathan Williams, who was, I hate to call him a stud, but he was a stud back in Buffalo a few years ago as a backup. So a lot of people high on Williams, and then West was brought in. They're not impressed with either one of these guys. Shane Vereen now gets a spot. Shane Vereen could be the number two back here and be a pretty sneaky play in both DFS and in certain leagues in the first 4 weeks while Ingram is down. So pay attention to that. But I love Kamara, obviously, there. I have Leonard Fournette. I talked about Fournette and rising in ADP. Or I'm sorry, he was falling, but I'm higher on Fournette than I have been this entire preseason. All right? So Fournette's seven on my board overall, one spot ahead of David Johnson. David Johnson, people, I'm down on him. People hate me for it. People arguing with me for it. All that considered, I still have an eighth overall pick grade on him. So cool your jets, everybody. I think David Johnson's going to be fine. He'll be productive, but there's bust potential. We got to see it. Yes, there's upside. Yes, he could be the number one overall player too, but there are cracks in the foundation. And if we don't make ourselves aware of it, then we're likely to fall in the pit. Number nine, DeAndre Hopkins. And I'll say this. I do have a ninth overall grade on DeAndre Hopkins. I personally would not draft him in the first round. It's just me personally. I want one of these running backs. The only way I draft Hopkins in the first round is if none of those running backs were available, plus Kareem Hunt, who's my number 10. Me personally would draft Hunt over Hopkins. But why isn't he listed on my board? Well, my overall board is for all scoring formats, for all different potential, and it's for what I think the highest point getter and safest players are. And Hopkins grades out slightly higher. Myself, personally, I'm willing to take the chance. I can't advise anybody else to take that Hunt over Hopkins. I think Hopkins over Hunt makes more sense. He grades out higher in my formula. But I personally like Hunt a little bit more just because I'd rather get the running back. And one of the reasons I prefer getting the running back in that first round, because my number 11 and my number 12 are both wide receivers. My number 11 is Julio Jones. And I understand there's contract stuff going on with him right now. We have to work that out. And he's going to be falling on my board if he doesn't report to camp on time. Same thing with Le'Veon Bell. But right now, as we go to training camp, I think Julio Jones catches double-digit touchdowns this year. I know it's the first time he will have done it, but in 3-4 years, the difference is it's never been done before. What he's to catch 85 passes and get 1,400 plus yards 4 consecutive years and only average about 5 touchdowns is almost a mathematical impossibility. And I can't – one of the things they could do to make Julio Jones happier, besides pay him more, give him more touchdowns, get him that confidence, get him that you know, little chips that use on his side, and that, my friends, will happen this year, with or without a contract. So he's 11, and Odell Beckham's 12. Odell Beckham has a big bust potential. He also has a lot of upside potential. Odell Beckham would not be in my first round. I would not – I'm not secure drafting him in the first round. Again, give me anyone. That's one of those picks. Him and Hopkins are two guys that all I want are some of my competitors in a 12-team league to draft. As long as those two guys go before my pick, you know, assuming I'm towards the end, I'm happy. I'm happy with Hunt or Fournette or David Johnson, who I am down on, but I'd rather take Saquon or Julio. Give me any of those guys, and I'm happier because I'm coming back around. Now, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, Hopkins, anyone is available in the second round, even if I have the wheel pick at 12 and 13, or maybe I have 11 and 14, I'm absolutely fine with them in the second round. I am. I'm absolutely ecstatic. So those are my top 12. Again, my top 48, all up, guruelite.com draft guide, 2018 fantasy football draft guide, available to you now. I should mention, we haven't even mentioned this on the site yet, but I'll give all you fantasy football elite listeners the inside info. Part of our 2018 fantasy football draft guide now includes not just preseason rankings, but weekly player rankings all season long. Don't forget, we have a draft room set up. What does that mean? You have access to me. You have access to Tommy G, Jeff Collins, Draft Cheat, Benny Ricciardi, Vlad Sedler, Kevin Adams, Ted Schuster, Ray Flowers, our entire team over at guruelite.com. You now have us in the draft room waiting on you. You're in the middle of a draft. You want to know who decided who's picking the sixth round, this guy or that guy. All you have to do is post a question. Real time, we answer it. Boom. Before you're even off the clock, you got a response. No waiting. It's real time. We're there around the clock. And that's part of our draft guide this year. And full season rankings every single week of the season as well. So it's the draft guide that stays with you all the way from training camp through the championship game. Nobody else makes that kind of commitment to their customers. I'm confident in that. So check it out, guruelite.com. Follow me on Twitter at Jeff_Mans, DJeffMans, on other social media outlets. Folks, don't forget, our partners at Draft, if you want to compete against me or any of the Elite Mafia, go to draft.com/guruelite, or if you download the Draft app, use Guru Elite promo code, boom, you get in with us. They will tell you when we join a draft, when we're online, when we're offline. You could challenge us. You could see how we're doing. You could see everything about us in perfect transparency over on Draft. If you do that, again, draft.com/guruelite. That's it, everybody. Next time, I'll be breaking down my Scott Fishbowl draft. If you've got questions, tweet or Instagram or Facebook, message me. Let me know any topics you guys want to hear. In the meantime, remember, don't buy the Devontae Booker hype. Don't buy the Chris Carson hype as well. This is Jeff Mann for Fantasy Football Elite. We'll see you next time, everybody.